Pasha Shoftim deals with the Nevuah, Nevi'a HaEmes, the true Nevi'im who speak authentically what Hashem tells them to, as well as the Nevi'a Sheker. The Torah says, don't listen, don't be led astray by sorcery and divination and different kinds of necromancy and all kinds of techniques involving dark arts to predict the future. What you should do is see a Navi. You should see a Navi Mikir Becha Me'achecha Kamoni. Moshe says, you will have a Navi, a Jewish Navi like me, that Hashem will appoint for you, Hashem will select for you, and it says, Navi Akim Lehem Mikarav Achechem Kamocha, and I'll tell him what to say. Everyone must listen to the Navi. Yo'esh Asher Lo Yishmael Devaray Asher Yadavar B'Shmi Anochi Edrosh Me'imo, the man that disobeys the Navi, that refuses to follow the Navi's commands, Hashem will punish him. Misa B'Dei Shemayim, Hashem will take care of such a person. Ach, and now we get to the Navi Sheker. Hanavi Asher Yazid L'Daber Devar B'Shmi, a Navi who will deliberately, b'mezid, speak in the name of Hashem. Eis Asher Lo Tzivisiv L'Daber, something I have not commanded him to say. This means, according to Chazal, even something which Hashem did tell some Navi, it's true, but he didn't tell you the Nevuah. And also, Asher Yadaber B'Shem Elohim Acherim, someone who will prophesy in the name of idols, of other gods, Umeis HaNaviyahu, death penalty also. And then the Pasuk says, V'chisamar B'Levavecha, maybe you'll ask yourself, Eicha Neidas HaDavar Asher Lo Dibra Hashem. This is the title phrase, that which Hashem hath not spoken. How will I know? How will I be able to know what is the thing that Hashem has not said? So the Pasuk gives a fairly brief answer. One Pasuk, Asher Yidaber HaNavi B'Shem Adonai V'lo Yiyah Adavar V'lo Yavo Hu Adavar Asher Lo Dibro Adonai B'Zadon Dibro HaNavi Lo Sigur Mimenu. If the Navi makes a claim, makes an assertion, and it does not come to pass, it does not come true, that is something that Hashem hath not spoken. That is, he said it b'mezid, you shouldn't be afraid of him, he's a fraud, he's illegitimate, and you should kill him. So, the Torah spends a fair amount of time, a number of psukim, discussing the Nevi'a Sheker. We actually had Nevi'a Sheker in last week's Pasha, they already appeared for the first time too, in Pasha's Re'ei. The Torah says, Ki yakum b'kirbacha Nevi'a chalem chalom, a prophet or someone who has dreams, and he gives you an os and a mofes. Not only does he claim that he had a nevuah, he actually gives you an os and a mofes. Ubaha os and a mofes. And he actually is correct. The os and the mofes comes. They come true. And then he tells you, let's go worship idols. That's his punchline. Los Ishmael de Ranaviyahu. Even though the os and the mofes came, doesn't matter. It can't override the fundamental imperative against Avodah Zarah. Kiminas Hashem Elokeichem Eschem. Hashem is testing you. Ladas. Do you love Hashem? B'chol Levavchem, B'chol Nafshechem. Follow Hashem, don't listen to the Navi. And Hanavi Yahu, Diber Sara, he's spoken perversion, the article translates it. And Biarta Ramikir Becha, you should destroy him, you should kill him. So we have a fair amount of psukim about the problem of the Navi Sheker, the Navi who is not authentic, who prophesies illegitimately. And unlike some parashiyos in the Torah, we have, let's say, Ben Sor Remore or Nidachas. These parashiyos, not clear that they ever even occurred. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says there is an opinion, Lo Hayav, Lo Asid Lios, never actually happened. It just drosh v'kabel schar. There's also an opinion they did happen, but in any event, they weren't common. There's no reason to believe they were common. We don't have any discussions of them in Tanakh, later in Tanakh. The Nevi'a Sheker actually play a very large role in the later Nevi'im. Malachim, Yirmiya, Treyasar. The Nevi'a Sheker were a real problem that occurred frequently. It was not just a theoretical abstract analysis. Klal Yisrael were plagued throughout Bayis Rishon, the era of Nevuah, they were plagued by Nevi'a Sheker. We read recently in Eicha. Eicha has a reference or two to the Nevi'a Sheker. In Perek Beis and Eicha, we say, Nevi'aya Chazulach Shav V'Tafel, Yirmiya, who wrote Eicha, is lamenting that the destruction came about. Your Nevi'im, meaning your false Nevi'im, they saw visions of Shav V'Tafel, of vanity and foolishness, our article says, Logilu Alavonech, and here they're being criticized for not giving Musar, for not making people do tshuva. L'hashiv Shvusech, to make you return. V'yechazulach Mashos Shav V'Maduchim, Mashos Shav V'Maduchim, They, again, vanity, deception, their visions were false, were mirages, they were misleading, but they were ultimately false. And this in general is the pattern we find through, I'm not that familiar with the relevant passages in Tanakh, but in general I think this is the general pattern of the Nevi'ei Sheker, the Nevi'ei Sheker tended to be optimistic. They said everything will be well, everything will be fine, everything is wonderful, everything is copacetic, don't worry about anything. And the Nevi'ei Emes were all doom and gloom. The Nevi'ei Emes were persecuted by the kings because they were constantly predicting destruction. And you read Yirmiyahu, even Yeshayah, the first part of Yeshayah, before the Nechamas, it's all warnings about the destruction, and it's all about the terrible things that are going to happen. As a matter of fact, in English, the Jeremiah is basically a word that has come to mean a long one-note prediction of doom and gloom. A Jeremiah is known as a prophet of doom, because Yirmiyahu is basically all pessimism about the future of Klal Yisrael, about the terrible things that are going to happen, and the Nevi'im were killed for it. Yeshayah says Menashe killed Yeshayah. Yirmiyahu was thrown in jail, was persecuted for much of his career. So the Nevi'ei Emes didn't take the path of least resistance. They typically said it as it was. The Reform Judaism today talks about prophetic Judaism. That was the Judaism of the prophets, who were constantly speaking truth to power. They were railing against the powerful, the kings, the rich. They were constantly savagely lecturing the rich for mistreating the poor, for the powerful for oppressing the powerless, and they paid for it. And that's a model today, even by those who don't like the B'nai L'Makom so much with Judaism. They like the idea of speaking truth to power. You know, we have both. In the authentic Yadus, we have both. We have the B'nai L'Makom, B'nai L'Chavero. But in any event, the Nevi'im, the Nevi'ei Emes, the ones who are famous, the ones who are not famous, were by and large, didn't pull punches. They by and large told things the way they were. They didn't tell the people in power what they wanted to hear. And the Nevi'ei Sheker were often saying everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be wonderful. And they were a terrible thorn. They were a terrible thorn in the sides of Klal Yisrael. So before we get into some of the discussions of the Gemara and the Rishonim about some of the halachas or some of the parameters of the Nevi'ei Emes and Sheker and how to tell the difference, just discuss briefly some of the stories in Tanakh. Again, these stories are at great length. There are a number of them. I'm not even that well versed in them, but just to run through two stories, one of them in Malachim and one of them in Yirmiyahu, just to kind of get a feel for what the whole career of a Nevi'ei Sheker was like. In one famous story in Malachim, this occurs on the eve of the climactic battle of the Achav and Yehoshaphat against Aram, where Achav eventually dies in that battle. So before they fought the battle, Yehoshaphat, who was a tzaddik, who was one of the great tzaddikim of the Malchut Yehuda, he told Achav, before we engage in battle, drash na kayom es dvar Hashem. Let's ask Hashem what we should do, what's going to happen in the battle. Let's that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to seek counsel of the Navi. So the Melech Yisrael, Achav, who was not a tzaddik, who was a famous Rasha, he gathered together his Nevi'im, 400 Nevi'im. He asked them, Ha'elech al Ramas Gilad l'Molchama, shall I engage in battle at Ramas Gilad, Yemechtal? And they all said, Alei v'yitein Hashem b'yad ha'melech. Go and Hashem will make you successful. Yehoshaphat wasn't convinced. He said, I'm not satisfied. Is there another Navi we can ask? Is there somebody else? The Melech Yisrael said, there's one more. There is one more Navi, but I hate him. Anish Nesiv. He's not on my enemies list. He was one of the Nevi'ei Emes. These 400 were Nevi'ei Sheker. This one Navi, his name was Michayahu ben Yimla. He always prophesied bad. And Achav said, I hate him. I don't like his Nevuos. So Yehoshaphat says, don't talk like that. Al Yomer HaMelech Kein. Let's see what he has to say. So they went and they fetched Michayahu, and the emissary who went to fetch him told him, don't rock the boat. Tell the king what he wants to hear. You're the 401st person. Just say what everyone else is saying. He told him. Sorry?
Good things.
Yeah, say good things. Just go get with the program. Go. It says, HaMalach Asher Halach said, the Nevi'im were pech, a tov, el ha-melech. Just, you should be kedvar echad, man. Do the same thing. Don't make trouble. So he said, what can I do? I'll do whatever Hashem says. I can't modify my message to suit your sensibilities. In the meantime, it says, one of the leading Nevi'ei Sheker, a man named Tzidkiyah ben Knana, one of the most important of the Nevi'ei Sheker, it says he made for himself carne barzel. He made artificial iron horns. And he said, ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem. He was lying, but he said, ko says Hashem, Be'ela tenagach es Aram ad klosim. With these horns, you will smite Aram, you will gore Aram. This is what we find in the Nevi'ei Emes too. In various of the Haftaras, we find in the Nevi'ei Emes, they would do what the Ramban calls poel dimyon. They would do symbolic things to show what the Nevuah would be. So one of the Haftarahs we read that it was going to be a reunion of Ephraim and Yehuda, so the Navi was told, take two sticks and write on one Ephraim and the other one write Yehuda, and put them together, and then there'll be Ke'etz Echad, and Hashem said, in the future, they won't be two separate kingdoms. The Ramban explains in Bereishis what the idea was. He explains it in a kind of mystical way. But whatever it is, the Nevi'im in general used to do these kind of symbolic acts to show, to emphasize, to concretize what their Nevuah was. And the Nevi'i Shekhar did the same thing. He built these Karnayim, these artificial horns of iron, and he said, you will be victorious against Aram. So in the meantime, they hold in Michayahu, and they said, what does Hashem say? First he tried to evade. He says, go, I hope you're successful. Then they said, no, I want you to tell only the truth. Tell me what you really think. Tell me what you really heard from Hashem. He told him, your cause is lost, you're gone, it's hopeless. Re'isiyas kol Yisrael, nafotsim al haharim, I see the Jews dispersed, leaderless, katzona she'ein lahem ro'eh, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Melech Yisrael said, I told you, all he ever predicts is loss and destruction. He told him, no, you'll see this is what's going to happen, that all your other Nevi'im are lying. Hashem said, I want Achav's destruction, and he sent a Ruach to go mislead all of Achav's Nevi'im, and I'm the only one telling the truth. The Melech got really upset. He said, kach es Michayahu and lock him up, put him in jail. And he says, here's what we're going to do. Feed him dry bread and water until I come back safely. And I guess if I come back safely, basically off with his head. But if I, Michayahu said, fine, I take the challenge. If you make it back alive, then I concede lo dibra Hashem bi. And everyone heard, and sure enough, Achav died in that battle. I'm not sure what happened to Michayahu, but he was the only one telling the truth. And there were 400 Nevi'im who were all predicting rosy, Pollyannish outcomes. They were the Nevi'i Sheker, he was the Nevi'i Emes. We have a similar story about Yirmiyahu HaNavi, a little bit later. His nemesis, his opponent was Hananiah ben Azur, also a leading in his time, a leading Nevi Sheker. So this Hananiah, this is a time that already under the oppression of Babel. Babel had already had hegemony over Eretz Yisrael. So Tzidkiyahu, Hananiah here, was predicting the reversal of fortune, that the Jews would rise again. He said, I mean, they did, but much later, 70 years later, but he was predicting the imminent salvation from Bavel. So he said, Ka'amar Hashem Tzivakos, thus speaks Hashem, Shavarti es ol melech Bavel. I have broken the yoke of the king of Bavel, of Nebuchadnezzar. In 2 years, I'm going to return the Jews to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to return all the Kalim that Nebuchadnezzar took. Everything's going to be wonderful, and Yechaniah, and the king of Yehuda is going to come back. Everything's going to be great and wonderful again. And Yirmiyah said, you're lying, you're a fraud. Yirmiyah said, Amen, Ken Yas Hashem, Halavai, I hope that's true. I wish that would be true. May Hashem do it. Ah, that's not what Hashem actually said. That's not what's actually in store for the Jewish people. Speaking realistically, that's not what's going to happen. He says, he told Hananiah, that's not true. Hananiah was very upset. Hananiah said, Yirmiyah was wearing a mote. Yirmiyah was wearing a yoke to symbolize the yoke of Melech Bavel. Hananiah took it and he snapped it, he shattered it, and he said Hashem has broken them at the yoke of Bavel. But of course, Hananiah was lying, and Yirmiyah was the true Navi. Yirmiyah, in his Jeremiah, was the true Nevuah that the Jews were not going to see better times for quite some time into the future. As a matter of fact, Hashem sent Yirmiyah to tell Hananiah, he told him the Jews are in for, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. It's going to be bad for a while. And he said, Ka'amar Hashem, you're in trouble. Hashana atameis, this year, Hananiah, you will die. Kisara dibarta al Hashem, like it says in our parsha. Nevi'i Sheker are intolerable. And sure enough, the Navi says, Vayamas Hananiah, within the year, Hananiah died. So these were two famous examples of Nevi'i Sheker who plagued Klal Yisrael, who, again, typically they predicted everything would be fine. There was no need for tshuva. There was no need to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were a thorn in the side of Klal Yisrael, the kings of Klal Yisrael. And indeed, the Nevi'i Emes, at great risk to themselves, combated them and tried to convince people that they were lying and they were the true Nevi'i.
in this time, they didn't have Urim and Tumim to ask that?
That's a good question. They still did. They certainly would have had Urim and Tumim. The Bayit Rishon, they still had the Urim and Tumim. So why could they not look at the Urim and Tumim and decide who was the MS and who was Sheker? Is an interesting question. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. So that's true. That's true. He's pointing out the Urim and Tumim were the Kohen Gadol and the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. So the kings of Israel were often the ones, the Malchei Yisrael and Shamron in the north. Or maybe they didn't have phones. They didn't have cameras. Maybe it was, they were far away. They didn't believe the Urim and Tumim. They thought it was being manipulated by the Malchei Yehuda. It's a good question. It's possible. I don't know. You can say different ideas, but I don't know. We have the same thing with the Nevi'i Habal. The Jews were often worshipping Avodah Zarah, in spite of the fact that there were Nisim going on in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, or in Batum. There was still apparently a temptation to do Avodah Zarah, so somehow that wasn't an irrefutable answer. So, yeah, I guess you had to be there to fully understand the temptation and what the conflicting forces were. So these are the Nevi'i Sheker, who often were a counterweight to the Nevi'i Emes. So the question is that the Torah itself addresses that in this week's Parsha and Shoftim. How do we determine who is a Nevi'i Emes and who is a Nevi'i Sheker? So the Torah gives us one brief rule, which is not necessarily the only rule, but one klal. The Torah says, you're going to ask, how do I know, what is the Davar Asher Lo Dibro Hashem? So it says, if the Navi says something, V'lo Yiyah Adavar, V'lo Yavo, it does not come to pass, Hu Adavar Asher Lo Dibro Hashem. We say that everything Hashem says is true. So something that does not happen cannot be a true Nevuah. In the Brachas of the Haftarah, Brachas Haftarah, we say every Shabbos, every Yontif, we also emphasize that Hashem and His word through the Nevi'im is always true. We say in the Bracha before the Haftarah, Asher Brachar B'Nevi'im Tovim V'Ratzav B'Devarim HaNamarim Be'emes, they're said truthfully. We end the Bracha by saying, we say Nevi'ei HaEmes V'Tzedek, and then the end of the Bracha, after the Haftarah, we say, Hakel HaNeman, Hashem is faithful, HaOmer V'Osem, a common theme. We say in Baruch Shomar every day, Amadaber U'Mekayim, Kol Dvar of Emes B'Tzedek. We repeat these words over and over. Hashem is Neman, Hashem is Emes, Neman Atahu, V'Nemanim Dvarecha, Davar Echad Midvarecha, Achar Lo Yashuv Reikam, nothing that you say returns empty, unfulfilled. Kel Melech Neman, again, Hakel HaNeman, B'Kol Dvar, we say this over and over and over, that everything Hashem says is true. That's why the Pasuk says in Shoftim that if the Navi predicts something and it does not come to pass, that must be Hadavar Asher Lo Dibra Hashem. That can't be authentic. That cannot be a legitimate Nevuah. So the Rishonim asked two questions here. The Rambam, any other Rishonim, the Ran, Abarbanel, Ralbag. The Rishonim deal with two basic questions here. First, that this tells us that if it does not come to pass, then it cannot be an authentic Navi. But if it does come to pass, how do you know it is authentic? People can guess, people can have computer models to predict the future, people have lots of ways of predicting the future. So even if it's true that something false certainly cannot be an authentic Navi, so you can rule out the possibility of being a Navi MS with 100% certainty, but how do you ever verify that somebody is an absolute Navi? How do you ever know? Maybe he's guessing, maybe there's some other way of him knowing. And B, is it really true that nothing Hashem says can ever not come to pass? The Rishonim point out there are a number of cases in Tanakh where the Navi specifically tells us that sometimes things Hashem said did not come to pass. Perhaps the most famous one is in the end of Yonah, the story we read on Yom Kippur, the Haftarah of Mincha on Yom Kippur. So we know Yonah is a very simple story. It begins that Hashem sends Yonah to Nineveh to say that Od Arbaim Yom Nineveh Nepeches, 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. Yonah eventually, after a lot of drama, Yonah makes it to Nineveh, announces their impending destruction. They do a major revolutionary tshuva, and Hashem says, I'm going to spare Nineveh because they did tshuva. Yonah is very upset. All the way at the end of the Yonah, it says, Vayerel Yonah ra gedola v'yicharlo. Yonah was furious. Vayispalel Hashem vayomer. It says Yonah prayed to Hashem and he said, Ana Hashem, hello zed vared hayosi al admasi. This is exactly what I was worried about. The Mepharshim explained, this is why Yonah didn't want to go in the first place, because he said that I'm gonna predict that they're gonna be destroyed. They're gonna do tshuva. I'm gonna look like a fraud. So either he was worried about his personal reputation that he's gonna be exposed as a fraud. He didn't want to be a Navi Sheker. Or I think Chazal say he was worried it would be a kitrug on Klal Yisrael that they weren't doing tshuva and Ninveh was. But we'll focus on the pashup pshat, on the simple pshat that
can't be a Navi Sheker. I didn't get that.
That Yonah said, "Od arba'im yom Ninveh nepechet." In 40 days, Ninveh will be destroyed. Ninveh was not destroyed. Nothing happened.
Say it's chayav misa.
Right. People are going to say it's chayav misa. People are going to say he lied. He said something that wasn't true.
Why couldn't you specify that?
If they don't do tshuva. Yeah, I said, all right. Why? So we'll discuss in a minute that's kind of what we're going to talk about. The Rishonim are going to explain that even in Navi Emes, things could change if people do tshuva. We'll discuss more about that in a minute. So the question is, why was Yonah so worried? If we say like the Rambam and other Rishonim that even things which are true could be... might change if people change. Why couldn't he explain this? Why couldn't he announce in advance that it was only if they don't do tshuva? Why couldn't he explain after the fact? Right, it's a good question.
What debar of Hashem didn't come?
What didn't come?
Yeah,
he said Ninveh would be nefecha. Ninveh would be destroyed. Ninveh was not destroyed.
But people make teshuva. It doesn't mean that.
Right.
But Hashem said you didn't come.
So that
the condition.
That's what we're going to talk about. We'll explain more about this as we go. The condition, a condition mefarash, a condition that's the mashma, that's implicit. But we'll talk about that more. And we'll see. So Yonah said, this is what I was worried about. Yodati, I knew this would happen. Atokel chanun v'rachum, erach apayim, rab chesed, v'nicham al haram. I know that you do this. Now, Hashem, I can't deal with this. Kill me, kitov mosi mechaya. I can't live like this. And we find a similar thing in Yirmiyah again. That Yirmiyah has a nevuah. Yirmiyah, of course, is one of the Nevi'i Emes. So Yirmiyah says, in general, Yirmiyah, as we said before, was predicting destruction and tragedy and terrible things for Klal Yisrael. Hashem said, come with me, go to the Beis HaYotzer, come with me to a potter, a person who makes kelim out of clay. So I went, Yirmiyah says, I went down to the Beis HaYotzer, and I saw the Yotzer was working at his clay, at his pottery, and... I saw the clay was destroyed. And the Shabbat said, clay acher, clay is malleable. If the clay gets ruined, so you mush it all back together and you remake it, then you have a new clay. Before it's hardened, before it's put into the furnace, you can remake it into something else. That was the vision, that was the mushal, the mushal that Yirmiyah saw. We know Nevi'im often see the mushal. That was the mushal that Yirmiyah saw. So the nimshal was, Hashem explained to Yirmiyah, I'm just like a potter, Hashem said. I have the same control, the same flexibility to change, to reshape things that a potter does. Like the raw material, the clay in the hands of the Yotzer, so too is Yisrael in my hands. This metaphor will probably be familiar to some of you. This is one of the most famous, most popular piyutim or slichos that we say Yom Kippur night. We say kinei kachomer biyad hayotzer. Sfardim too. That we go on. We have a number of other mashalim. Kinei kahege biyad hamalach. Kinei kezuchit biyad hamizageg. And a bunch of other mashalim. They explain it. The original one was this nevuah of Yirmiyah. That Hashem said that the Jews are like chomer biyad hayotzer, and it's up to me. I can do whatever I want. And the piyut has other examples too. But anyway, Hashem went on to explain the key line for our purposes is. Rega daber, Hashem says, sometimes or for a moment I will speak about al goy v'amamlocha, a nation, Jews, other nations, linsosh v'linso to lahavid. I'm going to prophesy destruction. V'shav ha-goyahu meira, so they will do tshuva. And asher dibarti alav v'nichamti, like by Yonah, I'll change my mind. And asher chashavti lasa slow. But also the reverse. It can happen in the reverse direction too. Rega daber al goy v'amamlocha livnos v'lintoa. I will speak. I will say that a nation should have success. They'll build. They'll plant. They'll be successful. Then they'll do averot. They'll become less righteous. They'll become wicked. I will change my mind. I'll regret. And therefore, he warned the Jews. You know, it's true that we're predicting Ra, but it's up to you. Do tshuva, and you'll be okay. Don't do tshuva. It's up to me, Hashem, so I can change my mind. Even though I prophesied one way, I could change my mind. So again. So the Rishonim ask, How can you ever test a Navi? If the Navi says something and it does not come true, how do you know he's a Navi Sheker? Maybe he's a Navi Emes, but things change, people change. If the Navi predicted good and it didn't happen, maybe it's because people became Rishayim afterwards. If the Navi predicted bad and people, and it didn't happen, maybe they did a tshuva, like by Yonah. So how do you ever know, that just because it didn't happen, how do you ever know that he's really a Navi Sheker? How can you be absolutely sure?
Chris, it's too late afterwards.
Sorry?
After the fact, it's too late anyway.
Too late.
You want to know ahead of time.
Right, you want to know to kill him now. Right. But even the examples, let's say, we discussed earlier where they knew in a few months, in the case, let's say, of the war, where Michayahu ben Yimla said, Achav will die in this war, and the war might have been over a month later, so the question is, he was in jail for that month. Now they want to know whether to kill him or not. Let's say he would have survived. Let's say he would have survived the war. So the question is, could they kill him as a Navi Sheker because you predicted bad and he survived? Maybe he did tshuva. How do you know? Or you're right. Sometimes you don't know for 20 years later when he's already dead and buried. In that case, it's a moot point, right? But in some cases where the predictions are for the short-term future, even for the short term, how can you ever be absolutely sure that he was a fraud, that he was a Navi Sheker? Maybe things change. Regad Daber, Hashem changes his mind. How do you ever know? So one of the first and most important discussions of this question is by the Rambam. The Rambam talks about this in the Pirush HaMishnah, in the introduction to Pirush HaMishnah. So the Rambam Shita basically is that the Rambam claims that a nevuah for bad, for punishment, can change to good if they do tshuva. But he says a nevuah for good will never go back. He says, Hashem is nicham al hara, like by Yonah, that happens sometimes. But a nevuah for tov never does not happen. We have examples. Yirmiyah said explicitly. We have other places where it says explicitly that even a nevuah for tov can sometimes be reversed if they do averis.
For example, Yaakov Avinu was.
Yes, so exactly right. So he's pointing out, and the Rambam asks this question, that Yaakov Avinu, which says that Hashem promised him he would be successful when he left Eretz Yisrael to go to Aram, and says that he was promised that you'd be successful, I'll protect you, Shmarani Baderach, Hashem shall take care of you. And then, yet when he returned to Eretz Yisrael, and Esav was coming to him with 400 men, it says, V'yira Yaakov Od V'yetzilo. So the Rambam asks that question. The Rambam says, Inyan Pachad Yaakov. So the Rambam says that he was worried about chait. The Rambam says, even if this chait, if it's for a tova, never is reversed. So the Rambam says that it depends. If the Navi was sent to other people, to a third party, like the Navim were sent to Klal Yisrael, was sent to the king to tell him what would happen, in those cases, even if there's chait, it will never change. If the Navu involves the public or third parties, then no matter what happens, even if you do chait, the Navuah will never be reversed, and that's how you know if he's a Navi Sheker. If such a Navuah, a public Navuah like Hananiah or Tzidkiah or public Navim, if their Navuahs would have been not happened, then they were shown to be Navi Sheker. A private Navuah to the Navi himself, the Rambam says, that could be reversed if the Navi decide, if the person does averis. So Yaakov, because his Navuah was personal, he did not reveal it to anybody else. He was not sent to publicize a Navuah to anybody else. Such a Navuah could be reversed, even though it was a Navuah Tova, and that's what Yaakov was worried about. And that's the Shita of Rambam in general. And the Rambam actually says he has support for this idea that at least with regard to public Navuah, that there's a difference between good and bad. He brings part of the story of Yirmiyah and Hananiah ben Azar, that Yirmiyah has a very, very curious statement. He says to Hananiah, I didn't read it before, but Yirmiyah says that Yirmiyah tells Hananiah, there's a big difference, he says, between your Navuah and my Navuah. It's not a symmetrical situation. Yirmiyah says, Hanaviim asher hayu lefanei lefanechem in olam, our predecessors, earlier Naviim, they had all kinds of Navuahs. They had Navuahs, Lemochama, Lera, Ledavar, Ledever, Dover. They had all kinds of bad Navuahs, Navuahs of tragedy. Hanavi asher yinavi l'shalom, bevodvar navi yivada navi asher shlach l'ashem be'emes. Your Navuah is different. You're predicting Shalom, which is not the typical thing for a Navi. What was Yirmiyah's point? What was the significance of that? So the Rambam explains what Yirmiyah was saying was, the difference between me and you is that what I say is not falsifiable. No matter what happens, you can't prove I'm a Nabi Sheker because I'm predicting bad. And if bad doesn't happen, bad can change to good, so there's no proof. If the Jews do tshuva, I'm okay. But you, he says, you're in trouble because if your good does not happen, since it was a public nevuah, not like Yaakov, since it was public, if your good does not happen, which it did not, you will be shown irrefutably to be a Nabi Sheker. And that is the sheet of the Rambam, that these two chilukim, these two distinctions, that a private nevuah can always change l'tov or l'ra, and that's what Yirmiyah said, rega daber, either direction, chomer b'yad ha-yotzer in either direction. A public nevuah, it depends. If it's a nevuah tova, it will never be retracted, no matter what happens. If it's a nevuah ra, then it could be, even if it's public, it could still be retracted, like by Yonah, if there would be tshuva, and that's the opinion of the Rambam.
So in the case of Yaakov, nothing bad happened actually, but it was a personal thing.
He was worried.
It is just like because he was so unhappy, he was scared that maybe he has done something bad.
Right. It did not actually happen. Right.
Punished.
It turned out he became very worried, so he was worried maybe more than he had to be. Right. But they're actually, it's very interesting because the Rambam here makes it sound like what Yaakov thought was reasonable, was logical. Elsewhere in the Hakdamat Shmona Prakim, the Rambam over there says that actually it was a chisaron in the midot of Yaakov. He says that Yaakov, he says, even though he was more scared than he should have been, even though he was too timid, nevertheless, even the Nevi'im are not perfect, he says. He says that it was a fault, but it was not the end of the world. Even the Nevi'im are human beings and they are not perfect. I saw in the Radak once a very interesting comment. The Radak says on Bereshis that after Shimon and Levi wiped out the whole city of Shechem, so Yaakov was very worried. Yaakov said, "Achartem osi is very dangerous. Now the whole Eretz Canaan will unite against us, and we're very few people. How can we stand up against the united enmity of all of Canaan?" And Shimon and Levi said, "Achazon ne'yasis achosenu." So we've discussed in other shiurim what the disagreement was. But one remarkable comment of the Radak in his commentary to Bereshis, the Radak says one line, one very simple line that has an explosive mashmaut. The Radak says, explains the differences in reaction of Yaakov and Shimon and Levi. The Radak says, Yaakov pachad kimin hago, as was his custom. Shimon and Levi, aviri Levi. Shimon and Levi were brave. If you think about it, the Mekubalim, the Balei Machshava, they tell us that the Midah of Avram is chesed, and Yaakov was MS, Titin MS Liakov, Chesed Lavram. But if you read the Psukim in general in Bereshis, the one thing that sticks out is that Yaakov's Midah is Pachad. Yaakov is afraid more than anybody else in Tanakh. Yaakov is about a dozen times in Bereshis, Yaakov is worried. He's worried about Esav, when he goes to Lavan, he's worried about Lavan, when he comes back, he's worried about Esav. Each time the Torah says Vayira, and Yaakov is nervous. When he steals the brachos, it says Yaakov is worried. Ulai Yusheni Avi. When he sends Yosef, he says I'm worried about your brothers. When they want him to send Binyamin, he says I'm worried about Binyamin. Yaakov basically is throughout Sefer Bereishis about Shechem. He's worried about Shechem. Throughout Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov is worried about things. So the Radak says, one word of Harishon. The Radak says Yaakov pachad kimin hago. Yaakov had a midah. Yaakov was a nervous person. Yaakov was timid. Shimon and Levi were bolder, reckless, brave, whatever the word for it is. But the Rambam does say in Shmona Prakim that Yaakov was more nervous than he needed to be. But here in the Pirush HaMishnah, in the introduction to the Pirush HaMishnah in general, here the Rambam seems to take Yaakov's nervousness as reasonable because of Shema Yigra Machet, and he explains that even a Nevuah for Tov can be retracted if the people then do sin. Now this is the Rambam, this is probably the best known shita about the Nevuah, but many other Rishonim don't agree. The Ran and others, they ask that they don't find this logical, this distinction between Tov and Ra. Even though we always say Mida Tova is Meruba and Peronios, we say that Aseret HaDibros, we say that Osa Chesed La'alafim for 2,000 generations, Chazal say, and Mida Ra is only 4 generations. Poke Navo Navos, Albanim, Albanevanim, Al-Shileshim, Al-Ribayim. Chazal say Mida Tova is 500 times more because it's 2,000 to 4. So in general, we do say that Hashem has more Mida Tova than Ra, but nevertheless, the Ran and others say that if Yirmiyah said that Hashem can change his mind, that if circumstances change, if people's level of righteousness, if they change from Tzaddik to Rasha, or vice versa, then Hashem can change. So where does the Rambam get this from? That just because it's public, it won't change? If it can still change when it's public from good, bad to good, and when it's private, it can change from good to bad too. Where do these rules come from? What's the logic of this, they ask, that there should be some kind of difference in public and private and only from good, not from bad. So the other Rishonim don't like the Rambam's Chilukim at all. They look for other reasons to explain how you can be absolutely sure that the Navi is a Navi Sheker. So some learn, some suggest, that the way you test a Navi Sheker is not by anything that's either good or bad, just by neutral kind of things that are not onesh or tchar, that don't have to do with anybody's tzidkus or rishus. Let him predict a minor or trivial thing, a thing that has no consequence to anybody. Let him just predict, you know, something minor where there's no reason, or something which is not a question of tov and ra at all. And if he makes a statement on that type of thing, that will be proof, because then there's no reason for Hashem to change his mind. So then that's outside the question of schar v'onesh. That's how you test a Navi. Other Rishonim make an even simpler suggestion. They say test a Navi by asking him about information that's already in the past. Obviously, it can't be something that the Navi knows about, but to ask him about news that just happened, a 1,000 miles away, you know, what was the weather like today in China and before they had cell phones, and let him tell you what it was. And if he's wrong, it's already happened, already in the past, it didn't change retroactively. So that's the way you test a Navi. And you see if he is telling the truth or lying. But in a Hanami,
let's say a Navi is a Navi Emes. He can at will have a Nevuah about whatever thing you want to test him about, or the whole concept of a Navi Emes is whatever Hashem puts into his Nevuah, that's what
he sees. Right, so Rabbi Slapoy is pointing out that the Navi can't necessarily ask arbitrary questions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Urim Tumim we know they used to ask. But even that, there are rules what kind of questions they're allowed to ask. A Navi, the Rambam, I think, says that unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who could talk to Hashem about anything that he wanted, a Navi in general didn't have control of when he would have a Nevuah, didn't have control of what he would have a Nevuah. Hashem would make decisions about what to tell the Navi. That's true. I think that's true. So I don't know if these Rishonim mean that we tell the Navi, here's a question we expect you to answer, find out, and come back to us. He just means if a Navi comes to us and says, I'm a Navi, Hashem said X, Y, Z. So we tell him, okay, tell us some things Hashem said. And I guess if Hashem wants to be machzik the Navi, Hashem will choose to tell him things that will fit these rules, fit these conditions of being the same way according to the Rambam. If the Navi only says good things and only says them in public, then again, you won't be able, in certain cases, according to all Rishon, if he doesn't make the right statements, you never will be able to know for sure that he's a Navi. But at least if Hashem, I guess, wants to prove to us the Navi's true, he will give the Navi Nevuah about something which will fit the different shitas, the different parameters of how to test. And if he makes such a statement, if it's false, he's a Navi Sheker. We should also reemphasize, so far we haven't really been discussing the question of how you know he's a Navi Emes. As you mentioned earlier, some of the Rishonim argue, even if a Navi gets something wrong, that is proof positive that he's a Navi Sheker. The fact that he gets it right does not logically follow that is proof that he's a Navi Emes, because if it's Sheker, it certainly wasn't Hashem. Hashem doesn't say Sheker. But if it's Emes, there are other ways of getting Emes without Nevuah. You can have Kishuf, you can have computer models, you can guess, you can have... As a matter of fact, there's a major dispute among the Gaonim and Rishonim. The story in the end of Shmuel about the Balas Ov. The Shaul was desperate. Shaul HaMelech, the evening before his climactic battle against the Plishtim, where he died and he was killed in battle. So Shaul wanted to find out what was going to happen in the battle. So Hashem was shunning him. Hashem was upset at him. So the Nevi'im wouldn't answer. The Rebbetumim wouldn't answer. So Shaul was desperate. So he went to a Balas Ov, a kind of necromancer who raised the dead. So there's a whole story there that she raised. She asked, who do you want to talk to? And he said, Shmuel. Shmuel was dead already. So Shmuel was his old mentor. So the Balas Ov, she raised Shmuel from the dead. And Shmuel told him that you're in trouble. Tomorrow you're going to die, etc. And sure enough, that's what happened. So Chazal and the Radak learned that story in Kipshuto, that she actually had supernatural capabilities. She actually did raise the spirit of Shmuel from the dead. But the Radak tells us that the Gaonim, the great leaders of Babylonian Jewry, who we say called Devram Devrei Kabbalah, the great Gaonim of Bavel, the Radak says they all agree, we've spoken about this a few months ago, last year, the Gaonim all agree, the Radak says, that Balas Ov is Sheker, V'chazav, Hevel, V'toh. There is no such thing as necromancy. You cannot raise the dead. So, not like Chazal. So he says, so the Gaonim were faced with this question, so how did she get it right? She correctly predicted the outcome of the battle the next day. So what happened? So if she was a fraud, if she was just one, like the people today, the fake psychics or whatever, if she was just a charlatan, how did she get it right? So the Radak brings from the Gaonim two approaches. One approach was Shul ben Chafni Gaon. She was a complete charlatan like the rest of them were. Everything she did was ventriloquism. She had a little guy hiding behind a curtain or something and throwing his voice. And how did she get it right? How did she get everything right? She guessed. She said, these people are skilled. You know, she saw the writing on the wall. She saw the order of battle. She saw the morale on the sides of the Jews. It was bad. She guessed, you know, the same way they guess today. So she guessed and she got it right. That's it. There was nothing going on. The other gun, Rav Hai gun, Shira gun, I think, they believe it was too much of a coincidence. They believe that this actually happened. It wasn't, but it was not because she had any actual power, because Hashem wanted to send a special message to Shaul. She actually was prepared to go through her whole rigmarole of fakery, and Hashem decided to send Shaul a message, and she was just as surprised as everyone else. She had her guy behind the curtain and so on, and Hashem wanted to send Shaul a message, so Hashem sent a message to Shaul. But
she was not a small lady. She was the mother of Avner, I think.
Yes, right. There is a Chazal. Right. There is
Avner.
It's either in the Pesukim or it's in the Chazal. I didn't remember that, but I think right. I think it does say that. I'm not sure if it's Mufurash in the Pesukim, but it's certainly from Chazal.
She could raise the dead one.
Yeah, so Chazal did believe that. Radak himself, after he brings the Gaonim, he says that Chazal understand Kipshuto that it actually happened. Yeah, so Chazal certainly believed that it did happen, but nevertheless, there were great Gaonim who held that it did not. But the point is, they could get it right. Even everyone agrees that Mohananim, Kosmim, they could get things right by without having actual Nevuah. So the question is, so that they do have different kinds of magic, whether it's real magic or fake magic or guessing, whatever it is. So the Rambam himself asks this question. The Rambam himself asks, so even if we say that if it's Sheker, it has to be a Navi Sheker, Hashem would never say Sheker, at least when it's not Tov and Ra or whatever, but how do you ever know it's Emes? Maybe it was, even if he's right, maybe he got it right by guessing or by magic or by some other technology. So the Rambam's answer is that you're right. One correct prediction is not enough. If you predict the future once, one battle, one predicts the rain for next Tuesday, that's not enough. You could have guessed. You could have gotten it right without having an actual Navi. So the Rambam says you have to test him repeatedly and successively again and again. And if he gets it right enough times, at some point, you know that at this point it's gone beyond the pattern of guesswork, because the Rambam explains that the Kosmim, the different kinds of magicians, even if they have some skill and some power, they can't get a perfect track record. There is some Sheker mixed in. It's like the meteorologist. You know, obviously, they have some skill at what they do, but they're not 100% right. It's because it's not Nevuah, there's some level of failure. Even if the success rates are much higher than statistical guesswork, even if they have some skill at what they do, it's not going to be perfect. So the Navi who predicts the future enough, eventually, Ram doesn't give you any statistical guidelines, but eventually there comes a point at which you can determine that he is a Navi Emes. As a matter of fact, the Ralbag, when he explains the story in Parshas Shmos, Hashem asks, Moshe asks Hashem for Osos, for Mofsim, to show Klal Yisrael that he is a Navi Emes. So Hashem tells him first, you do the thing with the putting your hand in your beged, and it comes out Zerat. Then you do the thing with the stick and the snake, and then you do the blood and the water. He gives him three different simanim. So the Ralbag explains it wasn't because it said if they don't believe the first one, they'll believe the achron. So what was so special about the achron? Why was the achron, if they didn't believe the first one, why should they believe the third one? Might as well get the order right, just read the psukim properly. So what happened was, the first one was, Moshe said, Hein le'aminu li, they won't listen. You know, a Navi has to prove he's a Navi, so how are they going to know? So first he did the thing with the Nachash, throw your stick down and we'll turn into a Nachash. Then Hashem said, here's another one. Another one is, put your hand in and it'll come out Saras. And they'll believe this one. If they don't believe this one, then do the thing with Dam, that you turn the water of the Ar into Dam. So if they don't believe the first one, why are they going to believe the second one? If they're skeptics and they're just, you know, why is doing another one going to be any better than the first one? So Chazal have different pshatim about, Chazal have a pshat exactly why. Chazal say that this was a special siman because it showed, because the Jews knew that those who speak Lashon Hara and say Lo Yaminu Li would be afflicted with Saras. But the Ralbag explains, more like along this Mahalach of the Rambam, he says, it wasn't that the third one was better than the first one. All three of them were the same. But one of them, all right, one of them could be, you know, could be Kishruv, could be something else, could be a trick, could be something. But three times in a row, three times already, you know, we Chazaka, we have all over Chazal, three times in the Chazaka, three times it leaves the possibility of Kishruv, of coincidence, and it becomes a Raya to Nevuah. So that's how many Rishonim understand in our Parsha too. A Navi Sheker, even one time, again, if it's bad, if it's good, if it's public, if it's not public, if it's neutral, even one time is proof that he's a Navi Sheker. But to prove that you're a Navi Emes, you have to have multiple times. And the Rambam learns that even though the Pasuk only says that you prove Sheker by Asher Lo Dibra Hashem, if it doesn't come to pass, he's supposed to understand the converse too. He's supposed to understand the converse too, that if it does come, he's a Navi Emes. Not once, but multiple times. Others say no. Others say that you simply, logically, it does not follow. Just because the Ran's example is, if I tell you somebody who does not keep Shabbos is not a chassid. Very true. It does not follow that if you do keep Shabbos, you are a chassid. If you keep Shabbos, cannot be a chassid. So you simply cannot make the leap of, you cannot make the logical leap from telling you that if the Torah says, if it's false and he's a Navi Sheker, you cannot jump from that to the assumption that if it's true, he's a Navi Emes. So the Ran suggests that the Torah is not telling you how to establish a Navi Emes. And the reason is because it's not so serious. A Navi Sheker, you're going to kill him. Before you kill somebody, you have to have really solid, absolute proof he's a Navi Sheker. The way you do that is because if he says something and it doesn't come true, that is 100% proof that the 100% proof that he's a Navi Sheker. But a Navi Emes, you're not killing anybody. You're just following him. You're doing what he says. So the Torah says you don't have to try standards of proof. So whatever seems to the Chum to be likely that he's a Navi Emes, the Rambam and the Barbanel both point out, the Navi Emes, he's not a guy you never met before off the street, somebody who comes out of his house one day and says, oh, by the way, I'm a Navi. The Navi Emes is someone who he's muksak, he's established to be a tzaddik and a chassid, and someone who has a long reputation of being a special person on a very high religious level. You're anyway not starting with a presumption that he's mechashef, or he dabbles. It's true, and unfortunately, sometimes we see that people who look like they're great tzaddikim, sometimes we discover later, were not what we thought they were. But in general, they point out that we're dealing with someone who has a presumption of being a tzaddik anyway, and that's what you're doing. The Rambam himself really says that believing in Avi Emes is a little bit like believing in two Edim. We don't know two witnesses are telling the truth. In modern criminology, we say two witnesses, eyewitness testimony is terribly unreliable. It's who knows what people's memory, the way people's minds work, power of suggestion, power of, you know, patterns in their heads, very not reliable. The Rambam says that's what the Torah said. The Torah said that you believe two Edim. The Torah said you believe a Navi, not because we have, if a Navi says something false, then it certainly must not be true, because it cannot be that a Navi of a Nevuah of Hashem would contain falsehood. But if it's true, you don't know for sure that's true. But nevertheless, the Torah says, either because he predicted the future several times, or because he's muktzak as a tzaddik and someone who's on a lofty spiritual level, such a person, at least with regard to following the Navi, such a person, the Torah says, you should follow him.